Should I bring up how much I am a fan of hiding out?
Mm. No, you should remain silent about that because I'm in the room.
Morgan Stewart.
Morgan Stewart, okay.
Morgan Stewart, actually, my favorite line that you've ever said is in that movie.
Really?
Why does she treat me like a piranha who ate its way through her diaphragm?
Ah, okay. Yeah. See, it's charming. It's lovely. It's like Oscar Wilde could have written that.
Welcome to Pod Thingy, where the geeks meet over drinks to discuss the latest in pop culture. Join the rock star, the author, the outlaw, and the nerd girl for Pod Thingy.
Welcome.
Get some, Dum Dum.
This is Pod Thingy. We're into episode 21 now.
Holy crap.
We can drink.
We can drink.
Finally. Legally.
We're legal.
My name is John. I am here with...
Tracy.
And I am Hayden.
And I am Blaine.
Blaine is not a name. It's a major appliance.
We are joined by a special guest today, Mr. John Cryer.
Yes. Woo! Yeah.
And I love you, sir. My whole life just came
Blaine,
full circle.
I have apologized to everybody named Blaine I have ever met.
Have you really?
And so I am sorry to the depth of my soul for what I unleashed upon you just for saying that line.
Normally, I'm like, when people apologize to me, I'm like, no, that's okay. For you? I'm taking this apology. Thank you.
You are accepting it. Well, you know, the thing is that I actually made up that line. That was one of the few lines up in the movie.
Wow.
Yes, because John Hughes would get the actors together for a while before and have them sort of have their way with the words if there was anything that sort of, bumped them. Because the one thing a writer doesn't want to do when he's writing teenagers is write something that doesn't sound like what they actually say. You know, and so he would sort of gather us all together. And so that was one of the things I pitched, and they liked it. So it got in the movie.
And wrecked my life.
And wrecked your life. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome, Blaine.
People would say it back to me, and that was the most frustrating thing. People would be like, Blaine, that's not a name. That's a something appliance. And I'd be like, it's major, you fucker. If you're going to do it, get it right.
Existence, but do it freaking right, asshole.
My only recourse at that point was always like, he spelled it wrong.
How do you spell it? You're
B-L-A-Y-N-E.
Oh, okay. So it's not you. Right. All these years, it's not
it's
you.
It's never been
I
me.
I haven't been
never
talking
me.
About
He's like,
you.
I take back my apology.
I take back my apology. You're just too oversensitive. to have taken any offense at that whatsoever.
Son of a bitch. It all starts over.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
On that note, and in honor of our guest, we have a special drink today. Aww. It normally would go by the name of a Pink Panther, but we're going to call it a Pretty in Pink Panther.
Yes.
Woo!
And let's toast here. Salud.
Pretty
in
Pink.
Sing Tao.
Isn't she? All of us, all of all talk.
You almost made me spit out my Pink Panther.
You do a fantastic psychedelic verse.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good Richard Butler.
Thank you very much.
The if you're playing along at home, the drink recipe is a shot of vodka, a shot of amaretto, half pineapple and half sweet and sour, and a dash of grenadine. So there you go.
Delicious.
We'll post that on the Facebook page.
I tell you, it's good.
It's a little
it's really good.
Strong.
Would you call it an Uber drink?
This is yes.
I love
it's an
that
automatic Uber
because he's Ubering home.
Yes, exactly.
Well, John, you're on a little show that people might have heard of. You want to plug that?
might need a fan or two.
Just a little.
Yes, I do a show called Two and a Half Men,
which has had no controversy whatsoever.
The great thing about it is that nobody has cared about it all these years that we've been kind of under the radar. Just doing our thing, plodding along. It's been interesting because it's been 12 years of this, which is remarkable.
That's amazing.
So old.
And every time, for the first 6 years, it was pretty smooth.
Yeah.
It was just pretty much upward. And then it got weird. but I'm incredibly grateful for the experience. And actually, we're in our final season. Mm-hmm. And we're going off in a crazy direction. My Alan and Walden are getting married
to each other,
so that they can. Yes, no, it's true. Because okay. So that they can adopt a child.
To make a statement.
Yes, exactly. And it's fun and ridiculous, obviously. And I will miss the show, But being Alan Harper for that long is for an actor is just weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's Kelsey Grammer. God bless him for doing Frasier Crane for 19 years.
Was it 19 that he did?
Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
between
remarkable.
Cheers and Frasier?
Yeah, because he came in like the third season of Cheers.
Yeah.
And then obviously.
Do you do other things? Do you do theater or do you?
Yeah, yeah, sure. I would. You know, I haven't. I've had the show, so I haven't had a whole lot of time. But yeah, I'm, obviously I love doing other things. Yeah. I got a movie called Hit by Lightning coming out in October.
Nice.
And so, you know, I you know, check the IMDb.
I'm looking right now. I'm scrolling. Yeah. Is it up there yet?
It should be. There's a Will,
yes, it is.
Will Sasso is
I actually researched that bullshit already. Yes. Damn it, Hayden.
It's there. Confirmation,
yeah,
Hayden,
Blaine, just,
it's there.
Hayden just glides in. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'm phoning it in this week.
Yeah, but well, it's just.
Oh, you have no idea.
It's just John in here.
This week. This week.
I thought, I found it funny, too, that, you know, Joan Rivers is always quoted as saying.
Where's the funny part?
I know.
She
I
just
know,
died.
I know.
Hilariously.
Too soon. Right.
Joan Rivers died this week. But,
I know. Well, no, she always said that, like, you know, a lifetime on TV was 7 years. You know, seven years was just, that's crazy talk.
Yes,
you know?
It is crazy. And a lot of the crew are, like, retiring after now that the show's going to be done.
Really?
I'm like, you don't have to stop completely just because the show is ending.
You
but
wrecked
okay.
them.
Exactly. I don't, I, you know, but we weren't trying.
Have you had a pretty consistent crew throughout that 12 years?
Yes.
Well, that's
been
fantastic.
Incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
Incredibly lucky. And I've actually been able to direct some episodes. And the nice thing about directing is you come into contact with just the enormity of the talent of your crew. Which, as an actor, you know, you have a job to do. And obviously the crew is great and they're wonderful folks to be around. But as a director, you really get how good they are and how a lot of them have gotten to the top of their field just to get there, you know, and it's so it's you know, it's been great and a great bunch.
My grandma, this is her favorite show, 2 and a Half Men.
Oh really?
80
oh
year old grandma, which is the strangest thing.
Yes,
I've
because
ever
the show is filthy.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what she gets out of it.
80 year olds never had sex. They didn't have sex back in the 20s.
Please don't make me imagine my grandma having sex.
They did. They were way freakier than we could have imagined.
Do you feel like the writing has gotten progressively dirtier?
No, we've always been filthy.
You think from square one?
Yes, from square one. The first season, because Angus T. Jones was on the show and he was so young, they didn't just wallow in just abject filth. But that was by the second season, sure, wallowing. We were full tilt wallowing, saying horrible things. And we've maintained that tradition.
CBS had at least, you know, a decade ago, had a reputation of being an older skewing demographic.
Yes, the Tiffany Network.
Yeah.
They were known as, we pretty much ruined that.
Good for you.
Yeah. No, you know, the nice thing is, actually, we've had an older audience for a big chunk of the time we've been on the air, and they love risque humor, you know, absolutely. You know, it does appear that they like it when it doesn't go over the edge into expletive-laden. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that. I love expletives. I am happy to employ them at the drop of a hat. But they seem to like when there has to be a lever of cleverness.
It's a double entendre.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. We're happy to do that.
Sure. Are all the things they say about Ashton's trailer true?
They were at first. The first season, he had a two-story trailer.
With a dance club or something?
With a club on the top.
That's what everyone needs.
Now, in Ashton's defense, he was offered that for free by somebody. So you know, you get offered something like that for free.
No, that's too much.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't put yourself out.
So he took it, but now he's got a completely normal trailer.
Which is still bigger than my house,
people.
So the makeup of the 2 and a Half Men on the show now is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You have a new man.
Mm-hmm.
And Angus T. Jones does a couple episodes a season now. Is that kind of how it?
No.
He doesn't do
He left the show last season. He is in college. You know, he, to my knowledge, has had a very sincere religious awakening, and discovered That what we do is filth.
Which was made kind of public.
Yes, exactly.
Which was made very public.
Yeah, that was a lovely moment, actually, because Ashton came up to me that morning.
Were you like, now this?
I know, exactly. He was Ashton was white as a sheet, and he said, dude, did you hear? And I said, what? And he said, well, you heard about Angus. And I said, is he okay? And he said, sort of. And then he took me into his trailer, his two-story trailer.
We were under the disco ball.
And he showed me the video. And I was like, ah, wow, okay. You know, and obviously, you know, I love him. He's Angus is a great, great kid. And, you know, his life took him in that direction. And I want him to be happy. We would love to have him back on the show. If he wants to come back this season, we'll absolutely take him back. But he, he's in college and he's exploring this side of his life, and you know we're happy for him.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. That's what I said.
Intriguing.
Excellent. Intriguing.
What other I words can we come up with?
Cheers.
To Angus.
To religious awakenings. All kinds of awakenings.
We always end up drinking to like happy moments and awkward.
Awkward.
Fill the gap.
Good.
Fill the gap.
Exactly. That's the totality of existence.
Yes.
All right. So I've got a couple news items, and we'll go through those real quick, and then I've got a couple of topics. So let's see. What's in the news? A lot of comic news. Apparently they're killing off Wolverine.
That's bound to be a popular choice.
Yeah, but is this going to be another Death of Superman, Breaking
yes,
of Batman?
Exactly.
I mean,
well,
you know.
Well, the answer is clearly yes, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
not going to – he makes them $1 billion.
Exactly. They can't stop.
But they really seem to be trying to sell it as if it's, you know –
this really means something.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the comic creators are like, there are no plans to bring Wolverine back right now.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's This Is It.
Yes.
But he actually died.
Yeah, he committed to that. He committed to that choice.
He sold it, too. He sold it well.
Really? Yeah. Sold it. No, the thing is, as writers, you know, you can always... If he let's say he passes away. Well, let's do a prequel about the time he spent before he joined the X-Men with the da da da. You know, and there's always a million ways you can
right. Even if this is their the death, they can tell old stories.
Yeah.
Or
he died in another dimension, or he died in the multiverse. And
It's you know, when I was reading comics, the last death that seemed to mean something was Gwen Stacy, I hear that they've even brought her back. So,
what?
You know, at some point in time, you go, it doesn't really mean anything.
I rushed out and bought the issue of Superman dying, because I was glad. I hate Superman. He can fucking die. I was like, I got to have this. So I still have Death of Superman, you know, and then he came back with long hair and no cape. I'm like,
yes.
Oh,
what the hell.
Speaking of, this man was in the fourth Superman movie.
Oh, yes. So how dare you?
Whoa, no, sir. How dare you be in Superman
4? Yeah, you're right. You win. No, I do think it cheapens the thing when you treat death like a stunt.
Yes.
Right. You know,
that we all can come back from.
Exactly. Exactly. But writers do because we can take whatever slice of their lives. You know, if you, by the way, choose to respect the universe you've created,
right,
which is where the person died, then you can find some new slice of the story to tell for them. But what does bug me is when writers don't respect the universe that they created.
Yes.
It gets my goat.
I see this online a lot in social media when you complain about the physics of a movie or the logic of a movie not making sense, and someone goes, it's a movie about a guy with metal hands, and what do you expect? It's like, I expect you to play by the rules of your universe.
I guess.
That's
exactly
what I expect.
Right.
Do you think Hugh Jackman's happy he doesn't have to work out 22 hours a day now? He's like, oh, they're going to kill me off.
It's Broadway musicals for me.
Dude, his veins have their own dietary plan.
Did you happen to see the last X-Men movie, John, the Days of Future Past?
No, I did not. I saw Wolverine. I did see Wolverine.
He's crazy ripped in that movie.
Yeah.
To an kind of extreme.
Yeah.
Tracy's over here.
You guys
giddy.
Hush your faces right now. There is nothing wrong with you, Hugh Jackman.
She would not stop talking about his butt.
There's that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I have a jaundiced view to sometimes because actors have been introduced to the chemicals that can help them get there.
Yes.
Sylvester Stallone.
Exactly. And while Hugh Jackman is, I respect enormously, Not just for Wolverine, but for his song and dance talent.
God. Holy shit.
I'm not kidding.
No, me too.
He's remarkable.
Oh, yeah. Second only to Neil Patrick Harris.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the video of him deadlifting?
I'm sure it's impressive. I hope he's the exception.
Yeah. Can you deadlift, John?
For Alan Harper, the character I play, I'm very often called upon to be ripped and have the abs.
That's true. Yes.
What you are called upon to do a lot is do scenes in your underwear.
Yes. Well, the ladies love them some Alan Harper. The fun thing about my body
yes.
is that it is humorous without just me standing there. Just I don't have to do anything. I merely exist, and it makes people laugh.
But okay,
so,
there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
In a broad sense. I mean, Joe Piscopo.
Yes, the Piscopo effect,
yeah,
which is referred to amongst all comedic actors, which is, this is why we don't work out.
Right. Right.
Because you get ripped and you stop being funny.
Carrot Top.
Yeah. Yes, there's the good. He's actually making quite a nice career of it.
He is, but he's not funny.
Yeah, but arguably, was he ever? Yes, there's the Gutenberg corollary, which was Gutenberg, worked like crazy when he looked like a normal person. And I'm talking about Steve Gutenberg.
Not the Gutenberg Bible? Because I was confused.
Exactly. by the way, there is a generation of people innocent of Steve Gutenberg.
I know, that's true.
And that's as it should be.
I miss him.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Two and a half men, three men, and a little lady?
You're right. So many people, when they say, I loved you on... I never know if Two and a Half Men is going to come out or if it's going to be three men and a baby. I never know.
You're like, I was taller and had a mustache.
Exactly.
Do you ever get confused with Matthew Broderick at all?
Not so much anymore. But literally for the first 20 years of my career, it was constant.
I was going to ask you earlier, Morgan Stewart's Coming Home, did that title change because of Ferris Bueller?
That would be called a ripoff title, is the technical term for that. Yes, what happened was the original title of Morgan Stewart was Homefront. And then Ferris Bueller came out, and Homefront, because they had done a million rewrites and the movie was a disaster and all that stuff, they said, you know what? It'll jazz it up with a title because the kids love the Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Let's make this Morgan Stewart's Coming Home. And that's how that happened.
Even as a young movie viewer, I was suspicious.
Yes. Well, that's good. That speaks well of you.
Yeah. Well, and also he used to get Matthew Broderick. Mm,
yeah, when I was in high school.
When I met him, I'm like, who's this Bueller motherfucker?
Didn't a high school pick get posted of you recently or something?
Oh, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, all right. I don't want to talk about it. All right. Well, it's depressing.
We need to cross promote that and put that on Pod Thingy.
We don't need to do that at all.
No, we do.
It was the worst I could have ever imagined. I looked in high school, and that came to light. So that's great. Always a fun thing.
That's a great thing. There's no, you can't escape history anymore because of the internet.
But did you wear your Starfleet uniform to high school?
No. Oh yeah, Tracy.
I did.
Come on. That's awesome that you had one. I brought my tricorder in, which is very exciting.
I used to have a tricorder app.
I still have it.
Nice.
Bazing.
Nice.
Bazing.
In the news, I'm just going to say the news story, and then I'm going to tell my position on this. Wesley Snipes apparently has been offered Blade 4.
Who?
Why not? Well, don't say who. You know he's went to jail.
What else is he going to do?
Just because he went to jail.
I think this is a rumor wholly generated out of Wesley Snipes'
camp. Yeah. Studios are going,
I don't know.
Although I must say, I mean, if this was born out of that meme with him standing behind the Twilight vampires, then God damn it, let him do it.
Yes. But the Blade movies actually hold up pretty well. He's pretty great in them.
I really like the first one quite a lot. And the second one was decent as well. Yeah. That was Del Toro, right? I mean, he had his take on it.
One word. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Morbius.
Oh, well,
okay.
Yeah, all right.
You can knock yourself out.
I just think that you know that the rights now have reverted to Marvel Studios, and I just can't imagine them making a fourth Blade movie.
You think they'd reboot it before they would have Wesley Snipes?
I think
you know
so.
What? That's fair. That's I would agree. Well,
they've got such a holistic universe, and none of this stuff took place in that universe. And he's older, and they're trying to skew a little younger with the people that they cast and things. Like I saw. Recently, it's Denzel Washington's going to be Black Panther. I'm like, no, he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
There's just no way he's that's going to happen.
Nope.
Wesley Snipes still looks really good, though.
He does.
He does.
Expendables 3, he was just in. And so I guess that's his
You're the only
vehicle.
Person.
I know. It's true.
It's true.
Expendables 3. Yeah,
totally true.
You're it.
All right, we have a new fifth member to Podbean.
What do you mean fifth? He's replacing me.
It's worth it for the drinks alone. This is awesome.
They are always delicious.
They are. This is delicious
and dangerous.
Cheers. I've only had a tiny amount. I've only had a tiny amount.
I know. I've been watching,
Your Honor. I had a tiny amount. Your Honor, I was just, I was doing pod thingy. You must understand.
You're off. You're okay.
And the judge goes, oh.
We were talking about having stickers that we would get to everybody that says, I survived pod thingy.
Yep. Yeah. Put me on the mailing list. Yeah.
Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Have you? I know you're.
I have only seen a few episodes and enjoyed them thoroughly.
Yeah. I don't know if you watched earlier or later in the season, but it actually got progressively better the first season.
Yes, I saw a couple early and then a couple toward the end.
They've got some new casting for season two. Adriana Palicki is going to be cast as
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, well,
sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Did you see that one?
I did.
It's floating around.
You know what? I saw her filming outside of on Hollywood Boulevard.
I didn't know it was seeable. Yeah. Where can you see it?
It is. You can find it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's on YouTube, but you can find it BitTorrent or something like that. Warner Brothers tried to reboot Wonder Woman.
Right.
They basically tried to make her Iron Man. They tried to make her a magnate who's, you know, super empowering for women, and, you know, she dresses up like this to sell her dolls so that the money so that her company makes more money on the Wonder Woman dolls. It made no sense.
Like
you're
saying
that they jettisoned the entire Amazon storyline,
almost all of it. And she flew a stealth plane, which sort of made sense.
Yeah, it's kind of invisible.
You know, yes, exactly. And they had she does this monologue that was like involved all kinds of modern feminist issues that just made you go, oh no, this was a mistake. But they gave it a shot. You know, they clearly were trying to make it, they saw Iron Man and they said, oh, you know what, that's how we'll reimagine Wonder Woman. And she was terrific, but the show didn't.
Do you imagine that there's somebody at Warner Brothers who passed on the Wonder Woman Joss Whedon script that is really kicking themselves at this point?
You allowed to talk about this?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, because actually I had an idea for the Wonder Woman, because ever since the New 52, since they sort of rebooted Wonder Woman, I had an idea for a new TV series for Wonder Woman. And it is interesting. They're trying to do the Marvel thing where they create a universe that really sort of respects itself right now, with Arrow and all those shows, and Gotham, which is coming up. I don't know who the person is who's in charge of that.
Yeah.
Because obviously my idea didn't go very far. Because they said, you know, we're really waiting for the Wonder Woman idea that comes from that guy on 2.5 Men. That's really where we think. I think he's the guy who's going to get that idea and really crack that nut. But I had a good idea. But I'm not gonna tell you guys. You guys will steal
it. We totally will steal
it. Totally steal it.
And we have clout.
Actually, I got to do, we did an episode last year with Linda Carter.
Oh, fun.
Because I was such a Wonder Woman nut.
Nice.
When I was a kid. And
she looks great.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she does.
I was at a party. I went down to see the Super Bowl in New Orleans when it was Baltimore, San Francisco. And I met Linda Carter at the party, and I was like, holy crud, she looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Your wife wasn't at this party, by the way, right?
My wife was at the party.
Oh,
no,
really?
She was totally
yeah,
cool about it. But no, my wife insisted that I okay. walk up because she said, sweetie, that was your childhood crush. Oh. You have to say something.
There you go.
You know?
That's a good wife.
That's a good wife.
Yeah,
good
she's
wife.
Awesome. Yep. And I did, and she was lovely. And I mentioned to the writers all the time that I spent holding up Linda Carter's poster with one hand. And then they wrote an episode about how much Alan was a fan of... of Linda Carter. And God bless her. Linda Carter was so lovely and came on the show and did it. And she did. And the thing was, she came on as herself, but in the show, she's not married. And she's, you know, been happily married for 20 years now to apparently a lovely guy. And
allegedly.
And
we say that word
you know,
a lot
and,
here.
And you know, we like made her an alcoholic, and we made her a bisexual, and we did all these horrible things to an actual human being, you know. And she was such a good sport about it; it was lovely.
There seems to be this trend, you know. If you watched episodes, the Matt LeBlanc,
mm-hmm.
he's really an awful person on that show. And first time I remember this kind of happening was being John Malkovich, where it's like,
yes.
Well,
you're playing with your persona,
which is funny.
As well.
Which is funny because the time that being John Malkovich came out, I was doing construction. You can picture it. Shut up.
I thought that was in quotes. Like I was doing construction, if you know what I'm saying.
Imagine flowing blonde hair.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And a tan
and a hard hat.
That's true too. That's true. I had a chest. Anyway, I was working across the street from John Malkovich. And we used to wave at each other and talk and stuff all the time. And he was like married and had kids and, mm-hmm. you know, and then you see being John Malkovich. I'm like, that's not his
not life. The same guy. Well, no. He has the scene with Sheen. Charlie Sheen is in that movie, if you recall. And they're like doing drugs together. And you're like, whoa, wait.
Where did that come
what
from?
What the left field?
I don't buy it. I do not buy it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like Charlie Sheen at all.
At all.
Totally out of character.
Yes.
So they're rebooting Greatest American Hero.
Finally. yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm weird about it. I mean, that was like a lightning in a bottle situation, and it really only lasted a season. The second season was complete crap. And then also, right in the middle of that, John Hinckley tried to shoot Ronald Reagan, and they had to change his name, so he became Mr. H. You know,
I had completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that angle.
Well, but the funny thing is that's what I think of every time I hear about, you know, Greatest American Hero is the big controversy surrounding Mr. Hinckley. I love William Catt. I loved the original idea. I thought the sound effects were special effects were fantastic.
The sound effects were good, too.
Yeah, sure.
They're also rebooting Chips.
That show. Okay,
it's your answer for everything.
That show was lame. But on some level, I'm sorry, Tracy. You look like you were about to make a point.
I was just saying, if Chris Pine's not in it, then it can't be.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That just as a reason to give Chris Pine a job. Sure.
I hear that guy really needs work.
I would happily go see that. But I do applaud remaking things that stunk to begin with.
I do agree with that.
Because I don't remake The Godfather.
No.
Don't remake something that was wonderful.
I'm with you on this.
Remake something that sucked, that seemed like a fun idea, but kind of ended up sucking.
You had the right intention, but you didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
Let's remake that.
Exactly.
Somebody
right.
asked me about superhero movies, and I said, they asked me which one I want to remake. I said, well, Catwoman, one that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do it correctly.
God, yes.
Cheers.
Yay,
cheers.
Come on, Hayden.
All right. All cheers. Twisting my arm. Hey, John, I think in the article you sent, didn't you say they're trying to make it serious, though, or something?
Semi-serious.
It said semi-serious.
Which I don't know.
I think it's a bad choice.
Semis are always a bad choice.
Can Dax Shepard act serious? Here's the thing. Dax Shepard, like, I mean, Idiocracy, huge fan. Love Idiocracy. Quote it almost fucking daily.
Which is sad.
Which is sad. Very sad.
What does that say?
Or brilliant. Or brilliant.
Yeah.
I love the fact that every time I hear Starbucks, I wonder if I have time for a hand job. But, I mean, this. Okay, I bumped into Eric Estrada in an elevator once, and I looked at him and said, thank you so much for C-Lab.
Of all things.
Sure.
You know?
I feel like, you know, Chips is one of those things. You know, they tried to do this with Starsky and Hutch, make it a funny movie, mm-hmm. which yeah. I don't think they really quite nope. succeeded. Mm. They did it with 21 Jump Street.
Yes, which kind of, was remarkable.
Which was fantastic.
And 22.
Yeah, 22 Jump Street was great. But I feel like they could do that with Chips, where they kind of take this self-aware, mm-hmm. very funny oh. approach to it and make it happen. But if they're going semi-serious with it, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't get what the point of that would
no,
be.
No, I don't either.
You know, the California Highway Patrol is a very real institution. They perform a valuable service
yep.
on mm-hmm. our highways and byways every day.
It's okay. You're riding. Ubering tonight, so you yes, don't have to speak so highly of them. Yeah.
Now that, yeah, exactly. If you guys had any idea what I said about you guys, I love you guys. How could you do this to me? Oh, you guys are assholes.
Best thing to come out of Chips, Michael Dorn.
Oh. Really? Michael Dorn came out
I
of
I did not
Chips?
Know that.
He was on Chips?
Wasn't he on Chips?
You say that with authority.
I don't remember a bumpy foreheaded
that's,
guy
that's
in Chips.
That's where he was before he went to Star Trek TNG. If I'm wrong, let's cut this out.
This never happened if I was wrong.
Isn't there like a decade between the two shows?
All I know is that if it wasn't for Chips, he probably wouldn't have even gotten an audition for Star Trek TNG, right?
Well, Hayden Googles furiously about yes. Michael Dorn on Chips.
Yes, I know. I know.
Let's talk about Super Troopers 2.
Yes.
I haven't seen the first one.
He was on Chips.
Nor have I. That is a crime. That is a crime.
Okay.
I'm really grateful I'm not the only one. Thank you.
Oh, but I have the excuse of I have children.
I have a cat.
There you go.
Okay, fair enough.
I have a pussy.
Whoa! Oh! Whoa!
Wait, wait.
Oh, yes. Welcome meow. To Tracy.
Meow. Leave that in.
Meow.
Leave that in.
No, I want you to meow like a cat.
The Michael Dorn thing, whatever. You can cut that out. The pussy thing stays. Okay.
Super Troopers is really worth seeing. It's not a classic. I don't. I mean,
it's
just,
not an airplane.
No, but it's not a hot shot.
It's not a hot shot.
No way.
I'm sycophantic.
There are a few things that are hot shots.
Yeah.
But you know, but it's funny and it's seriously got certain moments that are just fantastic. Broken Lizard is this like comedy
yeah.
troupe.
Well,
you know,
Jay Chandrasekhar
yes,
directed it.
Yes, yes. And you know, they've done a few things since yeah. they have Club Dread, and they've done
which is okay. The boobs in it are good.
Well,
I like the boobs.
All right.
that's
welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, you provided
the boobs. You weren't actually they thank weren't you. Your boobs, right. but you were.
She's representing.
I'm speaking on behalf of boobdom.
Yeah. Thank you for
great.
The boobs.
Thanks.
Boobs.
I have to represent.
And in very disappointing news, we've talked about the Gremlins reboot before.
Yes.
You a fan of Gremlins?
Of course. Of course.
And two? And sure. two?
Two less so.
Okay.
Two I found mean-spirited.
Oh, I you know what?
But two
was mean-spirited, but I loved the fact that it, two was kind of a... It was its own parody.
Yes.
It was a parody of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting now that they're talking about this reboot slash sequel. Maybe mm-hmm. Billy's coming back. I don't know. Joe Dante, I just assumed would be involved with this, is not.
I know.
Mm-hmm. That's bad news.
Bad news.
Yeah,
red flag.
It's a tough call because I believe Gremlins was made, was an Amblin movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you never know how much the director, I mean, he did one of the Twilight Zone segments in the Zone movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you never know to what degree it was Steven Spielberg. To what degree, you know, it was Joe Dante. And that script was pretty strong to begin with. I actually read that script because I'm that old. I actually auditioned for that. I auditioned for Back to the Future when it was a completely different script.
No way.
Script.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
Is this an exclusive?
This is an exclusive. And this is actually a fun exclusive. The Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull thing with the refrigerator.
With the worst part.
With
the
lead-lined refrigerator.
Yeah, this is sad.
Actually originated in a bit from one of the original scripts of Back to the Future. Bam. You just heard
Whoa!
This here, folks.
Whoa.
You heard this here. In one of the original
Mind blown.
Scripts, the original ending of Back to the Future involved him in an atomic test in the mm-hmm. 50s. And he's got to get the time machine going before the atomic explosion went off. And he goes into one of the houses because they stock the houses with mannequins of people that the houses, the test range houses.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And he hides in one of the he hides in the refrigerator as the atomic bomb goes off.
Wow.
So somebody figured out back then that it was stupid.
Yes, exactly. And decided, let's do that again.
That's crazy.
But my point being, it was an idea that was it just in his brain from 25 years before.
Why didn't he let it die then?
You never know, though.
But it was just...
I get
but
why
although, if nothing else, I love the fact that Jump the Shark has become Nuke the Fridge. I love that.
Nuke the Fridge.
Oh, that is great. Yeah, I did not hear that had, had occurred.
It's happened.
You didn't get...
It's done.
You didn't get the memo?
No, I did not. Huh? I did not.
Impress your friends.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Star Wars. What do you feel about Episode 7? Are you excited for this?
Yes, I'm excited. The interesting thing, J.J. Abrams, I really enjoy his stuff by and large. When they were rebooting the Star Trek, I actually approached him and said, okay, you need to understand, I have to die entertainingly in your movie at some point. even just if it's the photon torpedoes have hit the side of the ship and like some guy dies in an explosion
in his
in
underwear.
The foreground, that has to be me. I said that has to be me, and I'll be like manning some you know console.
I just
and
pictured
it'll
explode. Hot shots.
Exactly.
I just totally pictured hot shots.
It will explode, and I'll go ah, and it'll cut. And that's it. I said I just have to die, or somebody, you know, the ship can get hit, and I just shoot across screen and just going ah. I said I have to be that person, and he laughed and he said, "Yeah, sure," jokingly, and didn't do it.
Bastard,
dick.
If you get cast as a red shirt who dies in Star Trek 3, you have to let me in on
oh
that.
Oh my god, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Of course.
You have to let me in on that. Seriously.
Look, I see the guy at the Emmys every year, and I always say, dude, I wasn't joking about dying entertainingly in a Star Trek movie. And he always laughs. And then I don't get cast as a guy. I think it would be distracting, though.
Yeah, it would.
Just plenty of makeup. Like Nathan Fillion in Guardians. Totally disguise
John,
you.
John Cryer in Hot Nerd Girl, how can you turn down that package?
I don't... Exactly.
You have my number now. You give JJ my number.
I will talk to JJ.
I like that trailer. John Cryer. Hot Nerd Girl.
In. And then we just both die entertainingly very fast.
Sci-fi.
Yes. There we go.
Wow. They did it.
We did it. So I loved what he did with the Star Trek reboot, and I'm hoping. Now it's interesting because I just showed the original Star Wars to my daughter, who's 5. Mm. And of course, you see it now, and you go, "Oh, there's some glaring weaknesses."
What are you talking about?
and first of all, okay, why? Just as a screenwriter, you see C-3PO goes off in the desert by himself, and R2 goes off by himself, and they both get captured by Sam people, and then bam, they're back together. What was the fucking point of that at all?
Right.
How about they both just get captured together? How about that? They're thrown. There's no reason for that. I think
the purpose of that was to show what a pussy C-3PO has
I know.
Was and has always been.
That's the
really
thing.
Have to
and
show that?
The weird thing is, as a kid, I loved C-3PO. Why? Why did I love that
I know,
at all?
I know.
When you think about how he was supposed to be, he was originally supposed to be kind of like a used car salesman type guy.
Thank God they changed that.
Yes. Anthony Daniels.
God bless him.
But then with the prequels, he became a maid. He became like a British gay maid.
He's super annoying in the first one, too. At one point, he's talking about, I speak binary because I used to program binary load lifters. and then Uncle Owen just says, okay, shut up. And my daughter turns to me and says, because he talks a lot.
Out of the mouths of babes.
But I did that with Luke Skywalker, too.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. Well, but hey, I was going to go to Tachi Station.
And you're picking power converters.
Yeah, pick up some power converters.
Which version did you show them, by the way?
I showed them the only one that I could find on DVD, which is the newer version. If I could find the old theatrical version, I would show that. I had heard that it's in a weird limbo because obviously Disney owns Star Wars now, but 20th made Star Wars.
Yeah. Right. Fox
owns the distribution rights to the original Star Wars in perpetuity.
Oh, will always.
And if they didn't feel like being assholes, they would put out the theatrical versions of all three. Mm-hmm. Because they could make a mint doing that.
It will happen.
It will happen.
Yes, yes, you're right. You're right.
But you can. But you
I think
can
I might
find.
Cry.
I'm sorry. You can find the theatrical
that
versions.
That was awkward, but I also felt something Cheers. Between you guys. Yes, and let's drown it with alcohol. There was exactly. genuine emotion expressed for just a split second, but let's drown it with alcohol because this is Pod Thingy. And
we're self-numbing.
Is
what we are.
Yes.
What we do.
Oh, that feels better. Yeah. Wow.
Like, this is
Thank
awesome.
God I don't have those feelings anymore.
Killed.
It was there. You can get the DVD. There's one special edition that was released. It was the original versions are on there. The theatrical versions as special
oh my gosh.
Features on the second disc.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Where is it? eBay? Do I? Where? Do
I don't
find
know.
This?
I don't Probably know if they're still. Right now. I have them somewhere. They. But yeah, they were.
You have them in your possession?
Well, yeah. It was. You could buy
well,
them.
Well, yeah. It's not a big deal. I've got them at home.
Whatever. They're
then
sitting
find
around.
Find them and give them to me.
I will give them to you.
A-hole.
Okay.
Oh.
What are you?
It's a battle of the Johns right now.
I know. I'm being attacked.
Sorry.
I will give them to you.
You know. The funny thing is like he wrecked my life with the Pretty in Pink thing. But goddamn. I mean, you got called an a-ho by John Cryer. That is awesome.
Congratulations.
Well, yes, I've really attained my life's purpose. Yeah.
That's for the grandkids.
This was the moment.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So there's some rumors about episode 7.
Which I don't want to hear. Wow, that put a damper on the conversation.
Jeez, all right.
But quick.
And now for more Marvel.
We won't talk about them. Instead, let's talk about who got cast. And it won't mean anything to you anyway.
Oh, great. Great.
Because you're not in it.
I'll tell you why, but you finish first.
You've already said you don't watch Game of Thrones, but one of the characters from the first season of Game of Thrones has now been cast in Star Wars.
Let's let the audience let that sink in that you've never seen an episode of
Game of Thrones.
Or Walking Dead.
And I apologize. I told them about this in confidence before we started this thing.
Edit.
But yes, I will freely admit that as a parent with children who has no time to see things because he is a parent with children, I have not seen an episode of Walking Dead or an episode of Game of Thrones.
Have you read any of the books of either?
No. I have time. I don't have time to watch a TV show, but I have plenty of time to read a book.
This thick.
Exactly. No, I have not.
Isn't there
so
a lot
I
of hurrying up and waiting in Hollywood? Hurry up and
there
waiting?
Isn't. Not on a sitcom, no, because you rehearse all day, and I'm in almost every scene, so... There's no breaks. There's no.
Well, just play yourself up a little bit.
It's a nightmare. I might as well be a coal miner in Virginia.
Let me see your hands. Are they cord?
Oh God, I'm bleeding. I'm bleeding
on your
hand from flipping pages in my script.
Oh my God!
All those paper cuts.
Exactly. It's brutal.
All right. Sorry. So we're not doing any spoilers on the
okay.
Star Wars rumors, but
yes, but okay.
The
so.
Person who played the what do you remember his name offhand, Blaine?
He was the person who taught Arya to sword fight.
Right.
I can't remember his name. But
the dancers. No, his name.
But
is
you're super excited about seeing him in the movie.
Miltos.
Can't remember his name. Can barely remember.
Yeah. No, it's a crazy name.
Yeah. Miltos. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it.
Sure. No, I have it too. Yeah.
But yeah, he was a great part of the first season.
I loved it, and go ahead, talk about it. Talk about it. No, but I'll
this is funny.
Spoiler,
John.
Spoiler
John,
as much as you
take
want.
Your earmuffs, John. Earmuffs,
okay,
John.
No, talk about what you want. But then when you're done talking about it, I'll make you feel bad about it. But go ahead, talk
we
about
don't,
it.
We don't need to talk anymore. Anyway, I'm excited to see that guy on.
Yeah,
that's all
too.
I wanted
okay.
to say.
That's gonna
right.
be great. Yeah.
No. Say it. Go ahead.
That's
Blaine.
It. We're
go
done.
Ahead, Blaine.
Instead, let's talk about this. I will.
You never let me finish. Then, if you're not going to talk about it, then I will tell you why you shouldn't talk about it.
Okay.
Because one of the great experiences of my life, and my whole life, was going to Lowe's Astor Plaza on 44th Street back in 1977.
Yes.
Sitting, waiting in line to see Star Wars, which I knew nothing about. And seeing this movie and having it knock me on my ass.
Yeah, me too.
And that is, and I feel sad that kids today won't get that.
Except with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which was,
it.
Yes, that's true. That was very nice.
But as amazing as Guardians is, I think what you're talking about is that whole experience.
The whole experience, yeah.
You know, and you will never, I don't think you'll ever get that again.
No.
When I, and John knows this, no one else knows this, but when I saw Star Wars for the first time, we waited in line for 3 hours to see it, whatever. This big, huge, black, masked, caped dude walked through the line and walked right up to me and looked at me and scared the fucking piss out of me. And my mom had already seen it. And I said to her when he walked away, I'm like, who is that? And she said, that's Darth Vader. You're about to know everything about Darth Vader. And when he came out on screen, that's when I said, that's evil. That's bad.
Right there, yeah.
Yep.
And my daughter's going to be Darth Vader for Halloween. She's 5.
Your daughter rules.
That's some good parenting right there.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Blaine, he's actually just some whiny kid that actually was really in love with his girlfriend.
Hold on. Let me put on a corset and get a fireplace behind me. You can just see my boobs like heaving up and down. And we're good. We've got a movie. Yeah,
that actually sounds pretty good.
I actually got completely distracted from what we were talking about. You were saying boobs are heaving?
Where do you think George Lucas said, you know what? You know what we could do here? I'm just spitballing here. But if we have a corset on some heaving boobs, I'm just...
Maybe. I don't know.
They might go for it. But it was a magical experience.
Absolutely magical experience.
And I don't want to deny people that. And that is why I'm trying not to keep abreast of the
I'm with you 100%. And if we didn't do this show, I probably wouldn't be reading any of them. But I feel like I have to know. But I'm with you. I'd rather stay.
That's right. Blame the show.
I'm going to blame the show.
That's fine. I have to.
And I was just going to say we're in an era of reserved seating for movies in half of our theaters. Yeah. We don't get that.
Which is awesome.
A counterpoint by Tracy,
but it's awful too. Like
I studied for every single one of my college finals in line for Lord of the Rings. I love reserve seating.
John, you want to just go stand in a random spot next to a theater when the next Star Wars comes out?
I think we should
just stand there.
You guys just came back from Comic-Con. You know what standing in line for nothing is like.
we won't even stand in a line. We'll just stand there for 16 hours.
We stood in line for all three of the prequels and some of the Lord of the Rings. You know, the thing about it is, it's not about standing in line.
No.
It's about standing in line with people who share your same passion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's gone.
And it's gone.
That was me and my brother's thing. Even though we weren't huge fans of the prequels, we always made a point to see it together.
Yeah.
In line.
And interestingly, the prequels, my daughter loved. She just saw Phantom Menace last night. Loved it.
Anybody under the age of 5 loves Phantom Menace.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's great. Great.
And that's fun. So StarWars.com just had this survey about which was the best lightsaber battle in all 6 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up, you know what, I'm not going to say what they came up with. What do you feel was the best lightsaber battle in all 6 Star Wars movies?
I think it's easy.
Well, to me it's Darth Maul and Qui-Gon.
Okay.
And Yoda is fun, but it's so CGI, it's hard to
agreed.
Get.
Call me old school. I like Luke in fighting his father.
But you'd be wrong.
And Empire.
Yeah, you'd be wrong. It's great.
I don't know why. It just stuck with me, though.
You know why I love that is, I mean, the power of that scene is insane.
Yes. Yes.
Because it escalates. And that's something that actually brings me to tears when I watch Empire Strikes Back.
Right. And, the respondents to the survey said what you guys said, that Darth Maul battle. Mm-hmm. Well, number 2 being what Hayden said, the Empire Strikes battle. But as a viewer, as someone who's invested in this, I look at it and go, one of them brings me emotion, mm-hmm. and one of them is just fucking cool.
Exactly. but see, if they say lightsaber battle,
right,
then you're thinking about, you know, your swords hitting swords. Mm-hmm. You know, I would also say that the original battle between Ben and Darth when he dies, it fucking kills me.
Right.
What kills me is when Luke sees it.
Right? Yes. But he's an old guy. You're talking about Alec Guinness, an elderly British actor. You know, and we're so conditioned to these hyper athletic sword fights in all kinds of movies nowadays, mm-hmm. that seeing that is kind of quaint to some respect because he's Alec Guinness.
I never even see it as quaint because exactly what you said, Obi-Wan is old, you know, at the point, but it's not even that he's old. He He walks into that knowing he's about to die.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Right.
So he's like, whatever, I don't even do shit.
He actually said that in the scene, but they cut it because it just sounded a little weird for Alec Guinness like, take to me say out. Whatever.
Dude, take me out, but can you wait for my kid protege to see it?
He's just over there.
That'd be awesome.
What I love is the stormtroopers rush over and do nothing.
No, I expected them to kind of pull up phones.
They got
this
tickets.
Is awesome. What's up? Alec Guinness and I guess James Earl Jones, but really David Prowse are fighting, but whatever.
We talked about this a couple episodes ago, but it might blow your mind like it did mine.
It might. I don't even know what you're getting.
Alec Guinness, same age as Mark Hamill, right now. Uh-huh. shooting the Star Wars
movie. Oh, wow. Wow.
It's crazy, right?
That's remarkable.
You feel old yet?
That is, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I got to work with Mark Hamill years ago.
Dude, he's only, I've got two people I need to meet. I don't give a fuck about anybody else. Two and one, he's one of them. Can you help me out?
Exclusive?
You know what? I don't know that I can help you out because I was just as much of a geek. There was a show called Stripperella. Pam Anderson. It was a cartoon.
Was it Stan Lee's?
Yes, okay. Exactly. And Mark Hamill did some voices on it, and I did some as well. And they actually had us all in the room doing it at the same time, which I was just beside myself to work with the guy. And he was lovely and super nice, and you know, totally cognizant of the fact that I did this, and you know, he was not a dick about it at all. And it was great. And I, you know, to this day, it was a great thing. But I didn't get his digits or anything.
Damn it, John Cryer.
Not close now. But I wish we were.
By the way, can I go back and take back my lightsaber fight and pick Spaceballs? That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hayden, I'm proud of you. That was a funny thing you just said.
I like the Spaceballs.
I love that it's so rare that you have to call it out.
You have to. Yeah. That's rare. It's very rare.
I just like balls.
Just by doing the no head shake, Tracy, doesn't actually erase what you said. You said, I like balls. Or I love balls.
Cheers.
Yes, cheers. Yes. Wow. Drown the awkwardness with alcohol.
Clink, clink, clink.
Okay, so we're almost out of time, which sucks.
Oh, shit.
But
how did that happen?
I really wanted to talk about... we all have that character that it awakened your sexuality. And I'm sure, I mean, I thought this would be a great topic for today because I'm sure that Ducky was that character for some people.
I know for a fact that Ducky was.
Whoa, hey, where's this going, Blaine?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
did they hold up the poster with one hand?
Did I have a poster?
Ducky had a poster.
I was a wildly successful poster.
No, my girlfriend at the time would have left me in a hot, dry second for Ducky. She would have wished for everything if I was more like Ducky, which I wasn't.
I think Ducky was, at the time, kind of the embodiment of like an ideal geekdom boyfriend.
Yes. Yeah. But the thing that pissed me off about Pretty in Pink and the Ducky character, and I felt this even when my girlfriend was longing from her loins.
Try to not let your own personal feelings color the next statement you're about to say.
Yeah. No, was that it still fell into that you're going to go for the dude who's not right for you and axe out the guy that is right for you. Mm-hmm. She went with Blaine, that stupid
fucker
name. She went with Blaine. They broke up 2 years later, you know, and maybe her and Ducky hooked up at that point. Or actually, more probably, her and Ducky met up at the 10-year or 20-year high school reunion, you know, got drunk, had sex, thought it was goofy, then went back to their
lives.
Yeah. That's more realistic. But also, my ex-wife, her favorite movie in the entire world is Pretty in Pink. And had nothing to do with my name. It had everything to do with you. But she's my ex now, so fuck her. And fuck that movie.
Yes, exactly.
Sounds like, what's her number?
Yeah. So, it does surprise me the depth of emotion that people have about it. And that, as you said, that it does sort of strike a chord about relationships in that very often people will have somebody in their life who they clearly have a link with that is very valuable, and yet they'll go for the hot guy.
Well, and you know what's funny is John Hughes did it again in Some Kind of Wonderful. Well,
exactly. Yeah.
So he obviously had that happen or something. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear this a lot, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. What I loved about the character was he was who he was no matter what. You know, yeah. he was kind of a ridiculous guy in this high school. He totally stood out. Nobody else was in any way like him.
Careful.
You know?
Careful.
Except Careful, for Blaine. Right. Except for, yes. That was the irony. A guy named Blaine was the ducky of some... What high school did you go to?
Santa Monica High School.
There you go. You were... Blaine was the ducky of Santa Monica High School. I was not the ducky of my high school. I wish I was. I wish I was the guy who didn't give a shit what people thought about me, and I was just, you know, let my freak flag fly. And, you know, but it was interesting because I... you know, I always pictured that Molly's character and Andrew McCarthy's character, you know, tried it, but it, you know, didn't work past the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and then at some point, you know, Andy and Ducky got together, you know, and that would be great. But I, you know, it's one of the reasons that I would never really do a sequel, because I feel like people need to have their own idea of what that would be.
But more importantly, did you sleep with Molly Ringwald?
I did not sleep with Molly Ringwald. Not that I wouldn't have. Although I probably wouldn't have. When we were working together, she was kind of remote. And at the time, certainly, girls that weren't into me, I had no idea how to deal with them, you know. I couldn't woo a girl. If a girl was like, needed to be wooed and didn't want anything to do with me, I was boned in that respect. If they liked me somewhat, I could work it.
Do you think she was remote because of the character being remote from you? I mean,
she's kind of a remote person.
It came across.
But that's part of the reason she was so successful as an actress was she kept a lot to herself. And if you watch her roles, what's great is the tiny stuff that she's doing.
Yeah.
But I also found out later that she actually wanted Robert Downey Jr. to be cast as Ducky.
Well, that would have been a horrible choice, actually.
I don't disagree. Yeah. But even though I love Robert Downey Jr.
I love him too.
But me too. Well, especially if you think of Robert Downey Jr. from like Weird Science, that would not have worked.
No. Exactly. No.
Ducky needed to not be cool.
Exactly, which I think I brought
to
the
character.
Yeah, you're
not cool, John.
That
was me in high school.
And absolutely undefeatable not coolness.
Yeah, which I think all of us at this table could identify.
Exactly. You know,
absolutely.
And that's me, and that's who I was, and it's the reality of my life at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And but it was interesting because Molly had felt that had Robert been cast, my buddy, had Bobby been cast, she would have been the original. I mean, you know, the original ending of Pretty in Pink was that Ducky and Andy ended up together.
Yes.
Yes. that wouldn't have saved your marriage. I'm sorry.
God.
Wow. I'm laughing and crying at the same time.
But Molly has admitted that had Robert been cast in the part of Ducky, she could have seen Ducky and her ending up together.
Yeah.
But since it was me, that was completely out of the question. There was no way happening.
But I'm with you, though. I don't think her character and Blaine being together was any sort of lasting thing.
No.
It didn't feel like it.
No, exactly. No. Exactly.
No way.
So Absolutely. The question is, what was the character who awakened your sexuality?
Wonder Woman.
It was Wonder Woman.
Was it?
Yeah, it absolutely.
Linda?
It was Linda Carter in Wonder Woman on the ABC show, which, interestingly, it was two seasons on one network and then three seasons on one network and then moved to another network. And then it moved to present day, which sucked. I liked it back in the 40s. And then Deborah Winger played her mm-hmm. her younger sister or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, I forgot about that, too.
But the only problem was that Linda Carter could do the twirl because Linda Carter was like a track star in her youth. But Deborah Winger just couldn't do it and just looked like she was, you know. Who knows what was going on there. But but Linda Carter, I had a horrible, horrible crush on.
So she's the first woman you remember being kind of sexually
into. And then it was Batgirl. which was Yvonne Craig. No, who was that? It was
Yvonne Craig.
Yvonne Craig.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was totally into Batgirl. Yeah. And I was, and remember that the Batman shows would the ones that she was in, she'd be featured in the main title.
Yeah, the motorcycle.
So be, yes, exactly. She would drive through. Yay! And I was like, yeah, Yvonne Craig is going to be in this one. So, and I'm sure that's why she was brought in to the show.
Yeah. Of course.
So, Mr. Alexander, who made you feel funny?
Aquaman.
No.
No. He's coming back.
Everyone knows I'm joking because Aquaman's a dork. Anyway, so it would be. And here's the woman who totally awakened my sexuality, and I saw it later because I don't want to sound like I'm this old. But it was
a rerun, folks.
It was a rerun. It was Barbara Eden. I Dream a Genie, man.
Oh. I can see that.
I Dream a Genie. I can see that. And it's funny, as a kid, I can remember watching her midriff.
Yes.
Getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It was like it started up high. And I was like, it's lower. It's lower. It's lower. That started it. And then Batgirl was next. Batgirl was... made me feel really, really funny inside. And the greatest thing about it, and I don't know how, I think we're pretty close in age, but Wonder Woman was the third. But by the time I got to Wonder Woman, all I looked at was her boobs. I don't remember any of that show. It was just by the time I got to Wonder Woman, I was like,
she's an Amazon
holy
princess.
Shit, look at that rack. That's it.
Came from an island, the Paradise Island.
Thank you. No, really, I didn't know that.
Hayden, how about you?
I guess this is gonna come across like I'm a late bloomer a little bit. Gillian Anderson in The X-Files.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
All right. Because I was in my teens, and she was like in Layers. It wasn't like she was showing anything either.
No.
In FBI.
Sporty
and
suits.
I was like,
and...
beat me up. And
no, she's really hot, but really, that's what awakened your sexuality?
That awakened my sexuality?
That's a very intellectual choice. Yeah.
I don't know. Right. It was the redhead, too.
No, that's okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I dated a girl who used to get mistaken for her.
What's her name?
I can't tell you because I heard she listens to this show.
Oh,
so.
Damn it!
Okay.
Right. Well, I'm the baby of the show.
Yes.
So my the first test.
Will Wheaton. No.
You know what? Yes, I had him on a lunchbox.
Okay,
I did. But the first time I remember being like having an actual crush on celebrity, where I cut out his picture in magazines and had a poster on my wall.
Okay.
Was Chris O'Donnell as Robin in Batman Forever?
Wow!
No!
Wow!
Well, that's interesting.
That is a bizarre.
And no nipples either. No nipples.
I can't believe you're admitting to that after a lot of what we've been through.
Yes, knowing what you know now.
Not Batman and Robin, but Batman Forever.
That doesn't actually make it any better.
I knew that Captain Kirk was handsome.
Yes.
I knew that Will Wheaton was cute. I always loved Patrick Stewart. Always. Mm-hmm.
But like a father.
No. Like Patrick Stewart's on my list.
Okay.
Like I would do Patrick Stewart.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Did you ever do a show?
Did I ever do Patrick Stewart?
No, I show up. Well, maybe that too. Did you ever work with Patrick Stewart?
I've
family
never
guy?
Worked with Patrick, all right. Patrick Stewart. I would
but,
love
but,
to.
But see, here's
he
the
should
thing,
come
though.
On to an Half Ben.
Yes, that, love it.
My stepdad was a Foley artist for Universal.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I grew up, you know, with him always saying celebrities are normal people, you know, blah, blah, blah. So the only people I was ever really starstruck by was Star Trek people, right. You know. Mm-hmm. But then like Chris O'Donnell came along. And it was like,
but then Chris O'Donnell like, changed
for some
everything.
Reason, I had already seen him in the one with the and, drunk the counting the matches on the ground, the toothpicks.
Rain Man.
I had seen him in Rain Man, and I thought he was really cute in Rain Man. And then he was Robin, and it was like he was a comic book character. It was like, fuck, this is amazing. And that was right about that. That was like,
so that was the first time that you're like. Like girdle parts went crazy,
inflamed,
sure. And again, I was kind of a late bloomer because I was a huge tomboy, and I was like, I was kind of the ducky of my high school, where I was like out, like I wore my Starfleet uniform, and I was just like, whatever, I'm a nerd, I'm cool.
I love that it's out now.
Yes,
you weren't out.
Out.
Which is funny because I never like considered myself a nerd. I just wore my Starfleet uniform. It was like whatever, you know. And then all my friends are like, can you touch your elbows behind your back? And I'm like, what? Like, I don't understand.
So, can you?
I was kind of.
Yeah, can you?
Can you?
We're all curious.
I, I was always a little naive. But
shocking.
But
she still does it.
I know. I'm still naive. But no. But Dick Grayson was kind of wholesome, but still like sexy, and I was just like, yeah. This is
Okay. Mm,
mine is going to seem sort of boring after all of yours, honestly.
Okay.
It was the Ali Sheedy character in War Games.
Oh.
In War Games?
Yes.
What?
Wow. Really?
Let me explain, too.
She was really cute in that.
So I went to see War Games opening weekend with my friend, my best friend at the time, and his mother. And
oh, of course you did, because you were in the movie.
Shut up.
So was John.
Yeah. It's true. I was.
So
Global thermonuclear war. Sure.
We went to the theater late, and it was a fully packed house. So, like, I mean, it was a couple of seats left, right? So I got set next to this teenage girl who smelled of bubblegum. Like, her cologne was bubblegum.
Yeah. Yum.
And I'm watching this movie. Ali Sheedy's there. I'm smelling bubblegum. Suddenly, I had this, like, sexual awakening. Yeah.
Yes.
It was like...
But how old were you?
I don't remember. Right. I was young. I was in junior
was
high,
seven.
Probably.
Or dude, younger.
I Dream a Genie. I was like 5 or 6.
Yes.
I'm feeling like such a slut right now.
Well.
Yeah, that's mine.
Is that where you pulled the popcorn trick, John? Or no?
I did not know enough to pull the popcorn trick.
Oh, my God.
It's butter. I swear it's butter.
And salt.
Filth. Phil.
Coming out this week is A Walk Among Tombstones, also known as How the Fuck Isn't This Not Taken 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You know what? I like him a lot. Yes.
I know, dude. I do too.
I love that he's an action hero at 60 years old or whatever. That's awesome.
Is he really 60?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, IMDb, Hayden, you're here. It's fired up.
You are fired, good
just
sir.
Just read this shit.
Also coming out is The Maze Runner, which Blaine hates.
What is the? I have no idea.
I don't know. It looks a little bit like a Hunger Games kind
of
thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a Hunger Games meets Lord of the Flies. And by the way, I just want to say this. I love it in the trailer when they drop in the girl and everyone's like, we got a new member. This is crazy. I'm like, she's raped.
Oh.
It's the first thing I think of. I'm sorry. I'm like,
it's a movie about raping.
but
get me wrong. I'm open to new cinematic experiences.
All right, have you seen the trailer for it?
No, I have not.
Okay, now when you do, you'll be Blaine's right. Blaine's right. She's right.
You were right too, John. 62. Liam is 62.
62. Action fucking hero.
Well,
Liam Neeson. That's remarkable.
Right.
That has
Clint Eastwood's paved the way for him, so
yeah.
You know, we're good.
Okay. No, I like
Harrison
him
a Ford.
Lot. I like fuck All right. Harrison.
We're
fuck Harrison Ford.
We're out of time, folks.
Aww.
I know, right?
Aww, boo.
Cheers.
Boo, cheers.
One more cheers. All right.
Cheers. I'm driving home. Whatever.
Uber.
Uber.
My name is John Mulhall. You can find me at johnmulhall.com. I write supernatural thrillers.
Plug the book.
My name is Tracy, also known as Hot Nerd Girl. Hotnerdgirl.com, Facebook.com/hotnerdgirl, @hot_nerd_girl.
Well, I don't know how to follow that. Hayden at geekoutlaw.com, facebook.com/geekoutlaw, and @geekoutlaw, Twitter.
My name is Blaine, and I am
Major Appliance. Hey! You're a major appliance.
That's all I got to say.
We'd like to thank our guest this week, John Cryer.
Truly a pleasure.
Woo!
Thank you, guys.
Salute again.
That was great fun.
I'm all out of alcohol.
You can find us at geeks@podthingy.com or www.podthingy.com or facebook.com/podthingy and come find us.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. New movie coming out?
Yes. Hit by Lightning.
Hit by Lightning, October.
Google that shit.
2014.
Yes. That's right.
Holy crap. Everyone. Do I have to pee?
We'll see you next week.
You and me both.
Yes.
This has been an episode of Pod Thingy. Join us next time for more geekery and nerdism.
I hate lipstick. lipstick. I'm not like a huge makeup person. And so it
you can
adds
tell, right?
Just
no, but where, whoa, what, there's no reason to, what is that supposed to mean? Yeah. That she doesn't wear makeup. She doesn't need it. How about that?
I know. That was my point.
Okay, then.
Whoa. I almost got punched up by John Cryer.
Wow.